When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Massa digs in. Weaver throws. Massa swings and runs one into center field. Base hit. Zidane scores. Sogard behind him. Hello, Macho Man. Two-run hit. And the Red Sox lead it 2-1.
Alex Cora, we talk about it. He's such a good manager, pushing the right buttons in these big games. He sticks with Sogard. He comes through. He brings in Yoshida. He comes through. It's a new ball game.
How it sounded last night on WEEI. Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox, going to join us at high noon. Will Middlebrook's in there as well with the commentary on Cora. I thought going to Yoshida was obvious. And we talked about that yesterday. I mean, yep. We told you that yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's set up for it. I think they're ready. Like, I think they tell every one of their lefties, well, the three that got in, Yoshida, Abreu, and Lowe, they're like, hey, as soon as they go to the bullpen, like, the Yankees don't have a bunch of lefty arms that can come out and, like, you know, keep you guessing and, like, make you switch and everything else. So it's like, as soon as we get freed out of the game, hopefully you score some runs on him. But even if you don't, as soon as he's gone, get ready. Get in there. And then Yoshida, who really stayed hot. He was good. He had three hits in that one game over the weekend. Like, he was good down the stretch and came up at the perfect time.
Sogard, I think, was the harder one. That was one where you could have pinch hit for him. You didn't need him to turn around and hit left-handed. Cora stuck with him there. So I give Cora credit for that, a lot more credit than pinch hitting Yoshida, which I think was obvious. Again, in fact, so obvious, we talked about it yesterday on the show. But Cora had a very, very good night.
Yeah.
Pushed the right buttons and, you know, Boone on the other side melted down, as he tends to do. Cora pushed his guy to 117, and Boone pulled his guy at 102, and the game pretty much turned there. More thoughts coming up, but Greg is in Groton waiting patiently. Go ahead, Greg.
Yes, I want to talk about Yoshida and how I think he is this team's version of J.D. Drew or Miller from the 04 team. The professional player who knows what he has to do. He's had big spots in the Japanese League, World Baseball Classic and everything, and he kills lefties. And then onto the next series, he's going to kill the Blue Jays. He loves the Sky Dome.
Okay, so that is true. He hits the crap out of the ball.
Yeah, it's
Sky
bizarre.
Dome,
no, I mean, he might be onto something, right? Like, there are guys that...
Well, he doesn't hit lefties.
No,
that's
definitely
wrong.
He must righties. Have meant righties. Yeah, yeah. But it's a bad contract. They should have given it to him overall and all this other stuff. But for the here and now, you have him on your team. Utilize him to the best of his ability. And last night is a good example of that. Have him hit against righties. Have him, you know, be a pinch hitter. Because that, I feel like, just as an aside, for like all baseball players, that's going to be so difficult. To be sitting around for 2.5 hours that it's like, hey, grab a stick, get in there, make a play. And then he does. So that's great. And yeah, hopefully they win tonight and then we can talk about his stats in the Sky Dome and go from there.
Yeah. So again, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but I like how the pitching lines up tonight. Teams that win game one advance in this wild card format. So you got to feel pretty good about the Red Sox chances. They needed that one last night though to get there, which is self-evident. I will get to Crochet coming up since he brought up Yoshida. And I think he goes too far with Yoshida. I don't, I think as a pinch hitter, that was great last night. I don't know that I fully trust him anywhere outside of Rogers Center.
But it's funny, like J.D. Drew was a guy that everybody got on. And
yeah.
But then he'd like come through at certain times like, oh, yeah, he is actually a good player. You know, you'd forget about it because you expected so much more. Right. So in that regard,
yeah, people hated the contract. And yeah. He was frustrating, too, because it felt like he didn't care.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I get the analogy on some level. I do, and I did notice in real time, I'm sure you saw this too, Keith, the Devers people were getting restless last night. They can't help themselves. Because we're moving.
Yeah, they stay low.
We've moved the goalposts, I think, all the way to if the Red Sox don't win the World Series without Devers, we're going to hear from the Devers people.
That's insane.
But what I heard consistently, Twitch chat, you know you said it, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Oh, who would you rather have up there in a big spot, Yoshida or Devers? And I'm not telling you I'd take Yoshida over Devers.
I don't know. Last night seemed to be Yoshida.
But who came through last night?
Yeah.
So if you're going to say that and you're going to call it out, and how will they ever possibly replace the bat that is Rafael Devers, even though they've done it for like 90 games, even though they've scored more runs than the Giants.
I think they're in a good spot.
Even though they've done it for more than half a season, and even though Devers was here while the team constantly missed the playoffs the last 3.5 years, they were barely over 500 while he was here, one game over 500. You're going to continue to hear from the Devers people? Just know, last night, chalk one up for Yoshi. He came through.
He did.
With the biggest hit in the biggest spot as a DH. It was replacing Ref Snyder, who started the game. Ref Snyder also walked, by the way.
But then, like,
so your DHs gave you a hit and right. a walk and the biggest hit of the game last night. So, yeah, they're able to piece it together at DH. What do you know? They didn't just go into the dumper without Devers.
No, but also some of these lineups, you wouldn't be able to put him out there. And I'm not
Correct.
Saying that Devers is not a 30-home run guy. Yeah, he is. But some of these lineups where Cora can get creative and put Ref Snyder in there to DH and lead off, if Devers is just pouting and saying, hey, I'm not going to play the field, then it's like, all right, now you got to find Ref Snyder spot in the field and Romeo spot in the field, and then like it's just not the same. So, yeah, like the return's still bad. You can complain about the return, but they're better off without the guy.
So, I mean, that's how I feel about it. And, again, just forget the intangible of – was he a cloud over the team?
Right.
Was he bringing them down? That's something we can't tell you. All I know is their record is better, and one game into the playoffs, the guy who people didn't want replacing Devers came through with the biggest hit of the night. So that's what I know. That's what happened. You can discuss it at 617-779-7937. It's another reason to chalk one up for Breslow. And I would say it's really more on the pitching side, less so the Devers trade, because I do think that was more ownership than anything. I think the Crochet trade, Keith, was Breslow. Not everyone feels that way. People feel like that's ownership. I just think when Bloom was here, they weren't making trades like that.
No, they were not.
They weren't giving up prospects. And you could say maybe John Henry is more at a financial point where he's willing to do it, where he wouldn't have while Bloom was here. But Bloom didn't make trades like that. The Red Sox didn't make trades like that when Bloom was here. And go back to that day in the offseason. They got Crochet and Narvaez, who, by the way, was awesome last night, too. We haven't even mentioned his name.
He had some good at-bats.
I mean, yeah. I think he struck out a few more times than he walked last
sure,
night, but whatever.
Sure.
Those were incredible at-bats from Narvaez
I know.
Last night.
Last night, if they had the robot umps, might have been a different outcome.
It might have been a different outcome. That's true.
Yeah.
But on the same day, he went out and dealt for those two guys. Crochet is out there shutting it down in game one of the postseason with a vintage, incredible, all-time Red Sox postseason pitching performance, like one of the best they've had. Beckett, Pedro, Schilling, Pickett, one of the best ones they've ever had. And the reason you got him is because your GM was willing to part with the prospects and pay the freight. And
yeah.
I think there should be some referendum on that. He wasn't perfect. He could have got more for Devers. He should have done more at the trade deadline. There are other things that didn't work out, right? Signing Walker Buehler. I'm not telling you the guy's perfect, but that move right there, to me, overshadows anything else anyone yeah. criticizes about him.
No, I'm with you. Chaim Bloom would not have traded Kyle Teal. It just feels like they would have hung on to all those guys for dear life, and they ended up keeping the other three of the big four, and he signed two of them to extensions. And we'll see on Christian Campbell. Like, hopefully he's good. I don't know. Roman Anthony already is good, and he signed him to an extension. And you look at, they only used two pitchers last night, both guys Craig Breslow brought in. You and I weren't thrilled about the Chapman
no.
thing at the time, maybe
no.
more because of the person than even the player, but you're like, all right, how good is he going to be? And he was like the first signing that he had. But then getting Crochet and then getting a deal done, what was it, on opening day or the day before opening day, day after? It was like right around there.
Yeah.
They extended them, and you're like, okay, good.
Good question. It was right around opening day.
Yeah, so like not just a two-year thing and not just a how's this going to go? Because that was my biggest I thought the biggest positive of signing him early was you could push him. Because remember last year, not this deadline, but the year before, when Crochet was like, I won't pitch out of the pen. I won't pitch for anybody in the playoffs unless you give me an extension. Like, these were the things that he was saying. So you, when they acquired him, you're like, all right, how's this going to go? You know, is he going to be like Christian Gonzalez and kind of like looking out for his money and everything else? Like, how's this going to go? If they don't sign him to the extension when they do, I don't know if he's throwing 117 pitches last night.
Probably not.
I don't think he's doing
Great
that.
Point.
I think the team looks at it differently. I think he looks at it differently. They might not even be in the playoffs for all we know. But they get that done. He doesn't have to worry about the contract. And he had a Cy Young season, in my opinion. Then he gets Chapman. Those are the two guys that pitch. Bregman, that is a guy that we can talk about intangibles. And also, obviously, the stuff that he does on the field. And there's just something about it. And Yankee fans obviously hate Bregman for all the Astros, Yankee stuff.
So,
but there's something calming, real quick, just about him. It's Yankee Stadium's going crazy. It's the playoffs. You have all these, like, 24-year-old guys on the team. And then you have Bregman, like, just standing there in the dugout, like, been there, done that.
100th playoff game of experience. Yeah. Multiple World Series. Never missed the playoffs in his life.
It's great.
So, Ravitch last night is like, boy, these Yankees fans really hate Bregman because all the production he's had against him in the postseason. I'm like, that's not why.
It's more layered than that, Carl.
I'm like, you cover baseball.
Yeah.
Don't you know why?
Perez was like, or 2017.
Yeah, did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so maybe I was just so outraged when Ravitch said it, I didn't even hear the comment. But it's
Judge is still pissed that Altuve won an MVP from him when he shouldn't have because he had a little buzzer hooked up to him the whole season.
Teeny tiny little itty bitty.
Tiny buzzer.
You barely
little
feel
tiny
it.
Tiny remote control on the other side. Hit the button. There's a curveball coming.
Yeah,
Jose.
He's like, boy, I think it's because all the production against the Yankees. I'm like, no. That's definitely not it.
That's definitely it. But like having that guy on the team is
huge.
So big because you look up and down the lineup, there's not a ton of playoff experience. And then you have Bregman who's got as much as anybody.
It's true. Here's Alex Cora after the game about Crochet coming through in a big spot. This is why you got him.
He's just a guy that wants it bad, to be honest with you. He was in a situation last year that he was learning how to become a starter. He got traded to become the ace. He got paid like an ace. And since day one, he's acted like that.
Okay. Don't forget, the Red Sox could have had Fried. Ownership didn't pay Fried. They were in pursuit of him. They pivoted. They went to Crochet. To me, that's a credit to the GM.
Yeah.
But again, people don't want to give him credit. While we're talking Crochet, here's Aaron Judge on facing Crochet last night. This is a pretty massive compliment from Judge.
He's the best pitcher in the game. You know, he's going to work all his pitches. You know, work a little bit more off speed in there early on. But you know, we got the Volpe homer, but couldn't really. And we got guys on there do much after that.
Best pitcher in the game. According to Andre the Giant there, Aaron Judge.
I was going to say, according to maybe the best player in the game,
You
know, outside of Shohei Ohtani. But, yeah, I mean, you could maybe argue for Paul Skeens, but he's not playing right now. And I think he is better than Skubal, but Skubal's numbers are pretty off the charts. That's the list, though. It's those three guys.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, surefire Hall of Famers that are still hanging on, but they're not as good as they were. So if that's what Judge says, I mean, and Judge, he's faced them a bunch. You know, they had another stat, I guess another nominee for stat of the week, was only 15 times since whatever the year was has a pitcher struck out a certain hitter 10 or more times in a season.
Yeah.
And Crochet striking out Judge 10 times in a season is, like, unprecedented.
So it was,
let alone, like, a amazing MVP player, right? It's not just some scrub who's in the lineup, you know, that you own. No, it's Aaron Judge that you're striking out every time.
So again, it still baffles me. And I make the analogy to Dombrowski all the time. And I'd take Dombrowski over Breslow. But I remember people crying about all the prospects Dombrowski traded away and how he ruined the farm system. And I'm like, look at your big league. Look at the guys that are here.
Right.
And it's like, oh.
And you won a World Series with them.
Oh, I wish he got more at the trade deadline, which, look, I do too. I wish you had a bunch of good prospects in your farm system when Dombrowski was here. I wish they got more at the trade deadline. Did you forget about Crochet?
Crochet was a pretty good acquisition.
Did you forget about Chapman? So I really don't understand the hatred for the GM here. I think he's been good. I think more good baseball moves than bad out of him. And Crochet would be top of my list personally, but call me crazy.
Yep.
Who do you give credit to for sticking with Crochet last night for 117 pitches?
Cora.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that is. And I know they talk before the game. They've all mentioned that, right? Cora talks to the afternoon show. Breslow talks to the morning show. Like, there's been plenty of interviews where they've discussed the dynamic. Because we've been mad about times early in the season when Crochet came out after, like, 80 pitches. We're like, what was even the point of that? Or, like, Connelly early coming out of a game early, whatever. But I think in this case, Breslow's also said, like, we go over the whole thing, but then once the game starts, you know, the manager has those decisions to make. And I think with a pitcher like this in particular, this isn't Peyton Tolley or Connelly Early. This is legitimately your Haas, who has led the league in innings this year.
Yeah.
And so if Cora felt like now's the time to take him out, he could have taken him out. Or, you know what, we're going to put him back in for the eighth.
Right.
It's up to him. I think, like, it's up to him.
So this is why, to me, I'm consistent on this. You're consistent on this. Cora, last night's Cora. Give him credit for it. I am giving him credit for it. 117 pitches, Cora leaned on him. And we're ripping Boone. Boone's a moron. He took out Freed. But in the regular season, all I hear is when he pulls a starter too early, that's Breslow. That's analytics. That's modern-day baseball. I heard Curtis doing a lot of this morning. It's a great point. You know? So let's try to be halfway consistent on that. Whose call is it? Is it the manager? Is it the front office? And I think the weaselly answer that you'll probably get is, well, don't you have to manage it differently in the postseason than the regular season? Okay. You know why you can lean on Crochet for 117 pitches? Because Breslow reined you in the regular season. If you want to play that game, I don't. I'll keep it simple. When the manager yanks the starter too early, I don't guess that maybe it's the front office or Breslow and blame him because I want to blame him. I go, boy, that's a stupid move by Cora.
Yeah.
And when he sticks with him last night and he leans on his starter while the other manager pulls the other guy, I'll give Cora credit. And I just think being consistent on that one is the way to do it.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I'm sure they have their plan. They have their, like, this is ideally what we want to do if we have a certain number that we can do. But the games are different, right? Like, his... Even though he was trailing 1-0, what he was doing was actually even more dominant than Max Fried.
Yes.
Right? So it wasn't even just like a numbers
thing.
He gave
up a duck snort of a home run. That was it. That was it.
And then after that, he was like mad and just mowed everybody down.
Set down 17 straight after a little cheapy.
Fried kept allowing base runners. And now, don't get me wrong, I would have stuck with Fried as well, knowing what I had as a bullpen from the Yankees. But I'm just saying, like.
But who was more dominant? Fried was ahead on the scoreboard, but who was more dominant? Crochet.
Yeah, no, I was like, I would have been mad had he not gone out for the eighth inning. So,
and again,
I think they made the right call.
He did it because he threw a 6-pitch seventh, credit to him.
Yep.
And they were facing 6-7-8, and if you got to the ninth hitter, Caballero, that's what it was. So it was the bottom of the order, 6-pitch inning. They leaned on him. Good for Cora. But let's just remember that when we're talking about whose decision it is to keep him in the game and lean on him. Are we giving credit to the analytics in the front office and blaming them, or is it the manager? Well, let's remember our answer next time this comes up. Gretchen is in Kentucky on Rafael Devers. Go ahead, Gretchen.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I wanted to say that you guys hadn't pointed out, or I just wanted to make the point that we also got rid of Devers' contract, which frees up money in the future to spend, obviously, on, you know, Bregman or who, you know, more pitching or whatever. And so that's a result that we're going to have that we're not seeing immediately.
Sure.
But
Gretchen, that does nothing for the team right now.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I have my doubts. Like, I have more confidence in Cora as a manager and Breslow as a chief baseball officer than I do John Henry being like, let's spend all the money we saved on Devers.
Good point.
So, like, I'm right there with you. Hopefully that helps you get Joe Ryan or somebody like that in the offseason, but I'm not holding my breath on that.
I won't give them credit either if they spend money on Bregman.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, they paid Bregman.
Oh, no,
good.
No, no,
that
no.
lets
them
off
Bregman.
The hook for trading Devers.
No, you need more than that.
No, so you need to add Tucker or Alonso or Schwarber or somebody like that.
My guy Tucker cooled off.
He did.
Second half.
But you need to add someone like
Pete
that.
Pete Alonso would be
I would great. Take.
That's another conversation.
Yeah,
for another
not
time.
To do off-season talk now, right after game one.
On the wild card.
But I'd take Alonso over Schwarber just because of the fit. But here's my real
How
point.
How dare you?
Here's my real point. I gave him a pass on the money at the trade deadline because I'm like, they were never going to add $30 million to payroll in season. They weren't going to do that. No $30 million players moved. How are they going to do that? They weren't going to do that. The time to make up that money is the offseason. That's when Henry will be on trial. They didn't do enough at the deadline.
No.
But the money at the deadline to me wasn't the issue. The money will be an issue in the offseason if they don't spend it. If they do, that's another way to look at utilizing that Devers chunk of cash to help next year's team, but that's next year.
It is
funny, doesn't
though,
do anything for this year's team.
That and maybe this is just like they got like a horseshoe up their keister, but they didn't do anything at the deadline. In fact, they brought in guys that were pretty bad overall. Like Dustin May is useless. Maybe Steven Matz helps you. He is on the playoff roster. But then you kind of just like land ass backwards into Nathaniel Lowe. And I know he didn't have a hit last night, but he hit one right on the screws. And you're like, it feels like he's also the type of guy that it's going to have like a big moment in the playoffs.
The one he hit last night, I thought
have
been gone, and I definitely thought it was going to drop in. I wouldn't call it an incredible catch like they were calling it over
and
over again.
No, that was an adventure.
Which one?
The Judge one.
The Judge one. He had like a stinger, and you were like, if that was Altuve out there, it would have been a double. But Judge is 8 feet tall.
No, so that's what I'm talking about. Okay, but they're the broadcast is going on and on, and they're like, incredible catch. I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
And he caught
tripping over his feet.
Yeah. He kind of did that to himself. But I'm saying, like, he, if they acquired him at the deadline in like a separate transaction, and it was like a trade deadline day move, we'd be like, oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty good. But it wasn't.
They got him for nothing.
Yeah, they got him for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Still counts, but it doesn't also explain why the deadline was so bad.
No, they didn't do enough at the deadline, but
they didn't get that player. He's good.
That's a useful move that your apparently horrible GM that nobody likes added to this team. 617-779-7937. More of your feedback coming up. Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox, at high noon. We have the hashtag Dork Minute coming your way at 1145. And on the way next, more Red Sox talk and other items mixed in as well.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
I got great Would You Rathers.
Would you rather have a pet bird that swears or a pet monkey that smokes? Would you rather get punched in the face or tossed in a pond? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Oh, I thought you were pointing at me. You have something?
No, I don't think I pointed at anybody. Did I? Roll the tape back. Point at anybody?
You gave me like one of these. I enjoy dancing along.
Yeah, I enjoy the rejoins.
Just grooving along to the tunes.
Look, I'm in a good mood today.
Look, vibes are high. Red Sox win last night.
Through the roof.
Your jersey's looking great over there, Keith.
I got my City Connect jersey.
Fits like a glove.
Didn't have to beg for it at all. They didn't send me a triple XL, but I'm happy about it. I'm not complaining.
No.
Greg even gave me a hat.
I saw that.
Greg gave me a hat. Look at that. It's got the postseason patch on
Greg
it.
Greg said, does anybody want a...
Sick brag, bro.
Anybody want a Red Sox hat?
I go, yeah, obviously I want a
He's
Red
like,
Sox
yeah,
hat.
Yeah, pop that over here.
Yeah.
And so it's right... So you actually ditched your other Red Sox hat and replaced it.
I brought a Red Sox hat, and now I'm wearing a Red
now,
Sox
Now, is that
hat.
A good vibes Red Sox hat, the one you took off your head?
They're all great vibes.
But I'm saying, what were you wearing that one last night when they won?
No, I was completely naked.
Like all,
I didn't wear anything
like all Red Sox games, yeah. I watch it completely in the buff.
Like obviously, Frank crawling out of that couch.
I was very naked.
Okay,
covered in salsa.
All right, so you're not changing the vibes. You're not
I'm not
jinxing anything by switching out your hat.
No
bad juju.
No, this one actually is better. It's got the 2025
it's
postseason.
To the 2025 postseason. Yeah. That's a good point.
Hell yeah.
Watch along. You can see all of Keefe's getup. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and
Brian
on YouTube.
Still, I was pointing.
Just subscribe to WEEI.
Wow.
You were like dancing.
Oh, yeah, I did point.
It was something. I thought maybe you had something.
But usually I like to make eye contact with you before I speak. I can really look into your soul before I talk.
In the eyes. Would You Rather Wednesday brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. What is first up for the Would You Rathers today, Bill?
Would you rather a one game or a three game wild card playoff?
So when they originally did the one game wild card, I was like,
it stinks.
It kind of stinks.
I didn't like the idea.
But then I liked it. And then obviously when the Red Sox played in it, it was pretty amazing. And you're like, all right, you have all these games and it's a game seven. But it seemed counterintuitive to have like a 162-game regular season and trying to determine seeds and be like, are you guys one game? But with that said, if the difference is one game or three games where one city gets to host all three games, I'll take the one game.
Same.
Yeah.
So imagine if last night.
Oh, it kind of felt like it.
As great as it was. Yeah. Imagine if last night you're not sitting there watching going, all right, even if they blow this, could they win the next two? You're like, the season's over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, imagine that. So that's drama, and that is intense, and it was already dramatic and intense anyway, but ratcheted up by however many notches. I also, and I don't know if this is in the spirit of the question or not, I don't like six playoff teams.
No, me neither.
Because if you did the one-off, I imagine you'd bring it back to five playoff teams, or maybe you'd do two one-offs. I don't know. But I'd shrink the playoff field. Red Sox still would have made it if it was five teams, not if it was four teams.
Yeah, four teams they would not have.
But if it was five teams, they still would have got in. One game last night, now you would have advanced.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd feel differently if they lost that game.
Because if you're going to add playoff...
That would have been awesome if it was a one-off last night. It would have been just like 2021.
Yeah, if you're adding playoff games and teams, then shorten regular season, which I know they're not going to do.
No.
But like that's what you... That would make more sense to me.
So we both want the one-game playoff.
Yeah,
okay, Billy, what else?
Would you rather have Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes for the rest of their careers?
What do you got?
I think I'm still going Mahomes on this. Okay. Allen's incredible. Allen's younger, but Mahomes just turned 30. Like he can play another decade, easy.
Yeah, Allen's 29. I mean, they're pretty much the same age.
Oh, so they're that close in age. Oh, yeah. Then I would say definitely Mahomes. And I was picking him either way, but the one reason I was thinking of leaning towards Allen is what I thought was youth. The thing about Josh Allen, physical monster, and Mahomes is a great scrambler as well.
Yeah,
Allen is going to get himself hurt and break down. Like, even though Mahomes is older, I think Allen has a shorter shelf life.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, because like some of the comparisons to Cam Newton, meaning like it's Cam, people forget, but Cam Newton was insane for a couple years.
Big Ben
gets hit a lot. Roethlisberger played a long time.
He played a long time, but by the end of his career, he was nothing close
to
what
he was.
Do you
think either of these guys play when they're 40 like Brady?
Mahomes might.
I don't know. Like he's like an old 30.
Yeah, now he's still
he's
like, doughy.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a doughy 30.
Because Brady obviously made like a change.
Uh-huh.
And as strange as Aaron Rodgers is, like he's in like good shape and also his game is fine. And maybe Mahomes is sort of like Rodgers in that sense.
I mean, Mahomes played into his Favre rather played into his 40s.
But Favre also didn't make $500 million or whatever it is beforehand. And
Manning,
if he did, who knows what he did with it.
Manning made it to 40, didn't he? Or at least 39.
I don't think Manning did. And then he was a disaster.
What did Manning get to? What did Breeze get to? Like a lot of these.
Oh, Breeze did.
My roundabout point is a lot of these guys get there.
Yeah. Peyton Manning was 39.
Okay. So
and
one
he was
more
like,
year.
Shouldn't have been out there.
So call it nine more years for Mahomes instead of 10. Like,
so,
yeah, I think he gets to 40. What is he?
39 season, he was 9 touchdowns, 17.
Yeah, what does he look like at
Brock
age 40?
Osweiler.
Yeah, I don't know what he looks like at age 40. But I bet he plays till 40.
So I get your concerns with at some point all the hits are going to add up on Josh Allen, but I do feel like it is arrow up on Josh Allen and it is arrow kind of sideways on Mahomes. I don't think he's getting worse. I just think he's fine. So I would even say even if Mahomes plays a little bit longer, I think you're going to get better. I think the next 5 years are going to be better for Allen. So
yeah.
I think I would take Josh Allen.
Allen
right
might
now.
Have a higher peak. Is that the argument?
Yeah. From now on.
Going
Mahomes
forward.
Mahomes' career is like,
No. Not looking in the rearview mirror, but going forward, who might have the higher peak? Allen?
Like, sure.
I'd even give you that. I'd still take Mahomes.
Who do you think wins more MVPs going forward? Probably Allen, right?
Probably Allen, yeah.
Who do you think wins more Super Bowls?
Mahomes.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, I don't know if Andy Reid. I think Kelsey's going to be done soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andy Reid, and then we'll see. I mean, Mahomes is sick. Watching him lose the way that they lost last Super Bowl.
Do you think Allen wins one?
No, they might neither.
That's what I'm saying. So, like,
no,
I don't know.
Allen will. Allen will win a Super
Bowl. I'm going to bet on the guy who's never not made a conference championship game to win a Super Bowl.
No,
he made
a conference championship game.
I'm saying Mahomes has never missed
it. Oh, had never not. I think he said Allen hadn't won.
Allen and that franchise have never won anything.
It's a loser franchise, but he doesn't have to play his whole career there. He could go somewhere else.
Oh, well, good point.
he could go somewhere else.
If he switches teams, then come let me know. But, look, it's close.
It is really close.
Allen's great, but I'd take Mahomes. You'd take Allen.
I'd take Allen,
okay.
Yeah.
What else, Billy?
Would you rather a Taco Tuesday or a Pizza Friday?
Ooh. This is a good conversation in our house. Little CeCe Beans has both Taco Tuesday at her school and Pizza Friday, and I don't know which one she gets more excited about.
They're
doing pretty well.
So
doing pretty well.
It's a Pizza Friday at his school. We do Taco Tuesday as a family on Tuesday nights, but they don't do it as a school. Wow.
We like to mix it in at with the family too, but during school it's like locked in. Taco Tuesday, the nacho option as well.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Like knee-jerk reaction would be like pizza's greater than everything, but Tacos.
I like Taco
Tacos.
Tacos,
yeah. Look at that. Look at us.
I'm Taco Tuesday over Pizza Friday.
Yeah, same.
Because you know what? Pizza doesn't have to be Friday.
It can be anytime.
And in theory, tacos could too, but we every Tuesday in the Jones household. Now, I like...
Is that for real? Every Tuesday you guys do tacos?
I'd say 95% of the time. Yeah, maybe there's an off Tuesday where we miss it, but yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, you could set your watch to a Taco Tuesday.
Last night, Taco Tuesday.
And then you know what ends up happening?
What?
Well, you know what pairs well with this? Margarita. And then there I am. Tuesday night, margaritas. Like, Tuesday night? I'm like, well, Taco Tuesday.
Hard shell, soft shell?
Both.
Okay.
I make homemade cheesy gordita crunches.
You make a nice gordita. Okay. Yeah. But if you could only pick one.
Oh, like, I usually associate it with hard shell.
Not to sound like Lou with his bacon this morning. Yeah. But I'll go soft.
I'll do hard shell, but then I'll do so. Well, so if I do a soft shell, I end up just making either like a giant. It's more of a burrito than it is a taco.
That's why I go soft. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just those. I could eat.
You can't go wrong.
You can eat 15 of the little hard shells.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
The next thing you know, it turns into like a quesadilla Wednesday if you have like leftovers.
I'll take two
Wednesday
burritos. Yeah,
Wednesday's usually the nacho day, like the leftover.
Yeah, whatever you have left.
You just kind of toss all that in there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It all works out.
Yeah. And then you're only 2 days away from Pizza Friday.
All right. So we're both Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
Taco Tuesday, Pizza Friday.
Taco Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah. Clean sweat.
Nick?
I think I would too.
Wow. Look at that.
Like, pizza's an everyday meal.
I feel like we kind of bullied them a little bit.
Bringing people together. Yeah.
Well, I already said I would eat pizza every day of my life if I could, so I've got to mix in tacos.
That's
every
also
now and then.
True. You got
to. So
mix
we
that
should
in
maybe pitch, like a taco Tuesday. Maybe like a taco place brings us tacos on Tuesdays. We could do that.
I feel like we used to get lunch on Tuesdays.
Yeah, we used to.
Oh, we did.
What happened?
I was right about that, right?
I don't think we
got
promoted.
Amazing subs. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. We didn't promote it enough.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We definitely
we didn't talk about
we definitely
it nonstop.
Never mentioned it. That's true. So we
definitely
should
get a top tier.
We should definitely get Taco Tuesday going.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
You know, we would be fans of that.
Oh, I love it.
Here on this program. What else, Billy?
All right, finally, would you rather go through a corn maze or jump in a pile of leaves?
Couple of big activities. Well, Jones, these are a couple of really big activities coming up for this month.
Jump in a pile of leaves?
Yeah, you got to rake up a pile of leaves and then you jump in it. No, kids love that.
I hate that.
You kids,
I spent all the time raking. Now you're jumping and messing it up.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Corn well, leaves are a nightmare. We've
corn maze. Somebody else's problem.
Corn
I'll
maze.
Walk through it. I don't really enjoy it. Could be a little spooky. I'm not doing it at night.
What if you get lost?
I could.
Yeah.
That's a risk I'm willing to take because I don't like dealing with all the messy leaves, and I certainly don't want to jump in that pile. Lord knows what's in there.
No, I know. Especially the backyard.
Squirrels rattling around in there.
Dog poop.
Yeah,
God, it's a nightmare.
Great point.
Is there
a rock under there?
Could like, definitely
what
be a rock.
What is this, a trap? Like, I'm not jumping in there. Yeah. No, thank you. Corn maze.
And with my backyard, there's some critter living in there. Like, if you don't jump in it immediately, like somebody could make a house in
there. No, they're breeding underneath. Yeah, you know.
Land on an ermine. So, no, I would take the corn maze as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of agreement here.
Yeah, I know.
Like we agree. The leaves are a trap, as if the big maze you could get lost in, not a trap.
Well, that's up to me.
Yeah, at least I'm on my feet.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a corn maze in a long time.
If I rake the pile of leaves and somebody else is jumping in it, I hate that. And if someone else raked the pile of leaves, I don't trust it. I don't want to jump in it.
No, that's
corn
fair.
Maze. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Pretty simple.
So we agree on everything but the Allen Mahomes.
Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what makes us different makes us great, Keith.
That's true.
That was the difference there. 617-779-7937. That is a Would You Rather Wednesday. Here on Jones and Keith, we have the voice of the Red Sox, Will Fleming, joining us at high noon. We'll get back to Red Sox, Yankees, and we have the hashtag Dork Minute with Rich Keefe next.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major... That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The show starts in one.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi?
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy, me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
You and I will go see this new Marvel. People are saying it's actually nuts.
I'm going to give it a rock-hard 5 out of 6.
Nah, don't spoil it. Do not spoil it. What's going on?
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, let's do a quick Dork Minute here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll get back to our Red Sox and Yankees discussion. We also have Will Fleming coming up at high noon. Talk game one and game two. This weekend at the box office, Jones, it's a real-life story. It's a biopic. Biopics are all the rage. This one, not about a musician. A lot of biopics on musicians.
Okay, this is not...
The Bruce Springsteen one that I'm talking about.
What's his name from The Bear?
Jeremy Allen White.
Thank you.
Is going to be, the boss. Yeah. I guess they're tweeting out some photos of him singing. So I don't know.
I saw a clip of it. Yeah, I'm not a huge Springsteen guy, and I don't love that style of movie. Like, I didn't want to see the Dylan one.
I was going
to
say.
Chalamet was supposed to be great, right?
He was. I did watch it. He was great. The movie didn't really interest me that much. But, yeah, we've had Bob Dylan. We've had, Johnny Cash. We've had Elvis. We've had Rocket Man, Elton John.
Yeah,
Queen.
NWA.
Who?
NWA.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Oh, that one was fantastic.
That was a good one.
So I did like that one.
But most of these I have no interest in seeing. I'm sure it's good acting and maybe it's interesting, but I have no interest in seeing those.
Who's next? We're going to run out at some point. Have they done one on the Stones? Because they're doing one on the Beatles, and each Beatle is getting their own movie. Have they done that?
They do a 311 one yet? They should get that.
I know there's a Michael Jackson one in the making.
Oh.
Michael Jackson one.
Yeah, his nephew's playing him.
Could be complicated.
Yeah, I wonder what's covered in that.
Thing too, it's like everything I've seen was like, well, we got like 6 hours of stuff, so that like the Beatles one might be broken up into two different movies.
Yeah, no, it's four. It's the Beatles one, they're doing four movies.
Where's
and they're
that?
Releasing them in like four straight weeks. Each guy's like a Ringo movie, like a Paul McCartney movie. Yeah. You'd
probably skip the Ringo one, but what's...
Would you split up the 311 one, or would you have them all just be in it?
Oh, I think I'd have five of them, or however many are in 311. I'd split all
that up. I want the Slipknot movie, where you have nine different movies.
Oh, the Casey and the Sunshine Band one, yeah. 45 members.
Where's that streaming, Beatles?
No, it's going to be in theaters in like 2 years or whatever. Okay, like it's not out yet.
We'll mark that down. All right, so that's a long tease
Save
for that.
Save the date.
Yeah, okay.
Save the date.
Joe's going to think about watching it for 2 years.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I'm not watching the Ringo.
People went hog wild for that Disney Plus documentary on the Beatles.
Yeah.
They're like, this was an inside the minds of geniuses.
Bill, you watched that?
I didn't. It was three.
He's like a huge Beatles guy. You didn't watch that?
I mean, I would like to get to it at some point, but it's like on Disney Plus, it's split up into three episodes, and each one's like 2.5 hours long.
Long.
Not even thinking about it.
I don't doubt that it's amazing. It's just a huge commitment.
Best band biopic would either be NWA or the two Spinal Tap movies. I'd put those up
there. I like
there.
The first one.
But I'm not talking about any of those, Jones. Okay, I'm talking about The Smashing Machine, which is in theaters this weekend. It is the true story of MMA fighter Mark Kerr, who fought in Pride Fighting, which was unbelievable at the time, and early days of the UFC. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as he said, got out of his comfort zone. He's like, it was fun making the Jumanjis and the Moanas, but he's like, this is a little different.
Yeah.
And there's real Oscar buzz. Buzz, buzz, buzz. You hear that?
That is
Oscar buzz for Dwayne The Rock Johnson for this movie. It is a 2-hour and 3-minute film called The Smashing Machine in theaters on Friday. Early critic reviews, 77%.
Is that good? For a critic, I feel like that's good, isn't it?
No, that's low,
is
I would
it?
Say. Well, I think it's low if you're thinking, like, best picture.
I see.
But for, like,
for his
he still could be, like, the man.
Yeah.
Like, people might still want to see it for him, as it might go. One battle after another didn't make a ton of money, necessarily, but the reviews for that are insane. 96%. I think it's got to be the favorite for best picture as of right now. Because a lot of these websites that you look at, like the Real Film Nerds, like, the favorites are movies that haven't even come out yet. So it's like they played at all these film festivals. So, like, normal people like us haven't even seen them. But I'm like, of movies I've seen, I would say this one is up there with like, Sinners.
Can you give your how you graded it on the Hashtag Dork
six
podcast?
Six out of six.
I
liked it quite a bit. Davey said it was the best movie of the last 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Aggressive.
And who, didn't you say you were reading a review where someone called it the best
movie of all time?
Best movie of all time.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
That's bold.
There's been a lot of movies.
That's a bold flavor.
Maybe a little recency bias, which I don't, you know, maybe. I don't hate.
That's true.
The TV show Task is rolling right along. You were wondering, because Greg does talk about it now. Greg's all in on it.
The buzz seems back in the office.
The buzz
It went away at the water cooler for a little bit, but I'm now here. You and Nick were talking about it.
Me and Nick talking about Stiz is watching it,
Stiz
too.
Although is discussing it.
Stiz is a curious creature.
It's a case study on Stiz.
Snob grimy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Snob grimy.
Yeah, that's what he is. Yeah.
He is. He like doesn't like anything. And then he always prefaces everything. Like, I do like the show, but he's like, it's so predictable. It's cliche. It's this. That. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like you like it.
It's like my take on Alex Cora earlier.
Season's half over. He thinks he knows the end.
I'm like, all right, tell me what the end is. Tell me what the end is right now. Let's see if you're right. So anyway, I love it. It's the Sunday show on HBO. It's only 7 total episodes. If you haven't watched it yet, there are only 4. So you could rip it this week, and then you'd be, you know, you could catch up and watch it live the rest of the way. Speaking of HBO, this month, Welcome to Derry, a prequel series.
Okay.
It's coming to HBO Max.
Not a film, a series.
A series.
Okay.
So It and It Chapter 2 were two of the biggest box office successes in the history of horror movies. I thought the first one was good. I thought the second one was bad, but they made a ton of money. People went hog wild for this. And so, yeah, if you like Pennywise the Clown, you can get a little taste of that coming up October 26th. It comes out. Mark Ruffalo said in an interview that the Hulk would win a fight with Superman. And I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. There's no way.
That's it? That's the item?
It's not happening. Unless the Hulk covered himself in kryptonite and like snuck up on a sleeping Superman.
You could probably do that though, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
Green blends right in.
Yeah. Yeah. Bruce Banner could find a way to manipulate the, I guess.
Didn't you just answer your own question?
No, Superman's faster. He has.
Hulk couldn't even beat Captain America in the new one.
Hulk, yeah, right. Hulk, well, the MCU Hulk is kind of. Yeah,
for a 10-month-old movie?
Yeah.
We're a spoiler free zone for Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's wrong. I don't understand that he plays the Hulk, but he's just dead wrong. The Superman would destroy him.
Superman. Wow, okay.
There's a new series out on Hulu. You remember when on ESPN, Eli Manning did the thing where he dressed up as a guy and like went to a practice and like fooled a coach?
Yeah.
Like,
wasn't funny at all.
Correct.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? That needs to be a show. We need to do a show of that. So it's called Chad Powers.
I see the ads.
Yeah.
Everywhere,
nonstop
banners on my Hulu. I see it on TV. It's like it's on the bottom line of like sporting. It's everywhere.
Chad Powers, is portrayed by Glenn Powell, who I do like.
That's a good get.
Glenn Powell is an It man.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
Well, he was before this.
Well, now he's in this thing. Which on speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, it was 50% something. Ew. Like mid 56 critic. Oh, dueling 56. Audience and critics saying 56. And
the critics gave it a 56?
Yep.
Wow.
So he plays like, I guess,
Eli's going to be buying votes.
Like a college quarterback, which, first of all, how old's Glenn Powell? What are we doing?
Yeah, good point.
And then he, like, to get a second chance, he changed his name to Chad Powers and puts, like, a fake nose on. Like, that's going to throw everybody off the scent,
old
I guess.
Bobby Valentine.
And they released like a clip. Actually, there's like a couple episodes out already. I think it's going to be a weekly series on Hulu. Do you know who one of the guest stars is of the TV show Chad Powers?
Probably when you say it, but who?
Hawk Tua.
Oh.
The Hawk Tua girl?
That's a...
From last year?
Look, this time slot should get very excited about that, actually. We should do a couple segments on that.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
So like they just got around to it. They're like, you know who's hot as a pistol right now? Who everybody's talking about? Is the girl that almost went to prison for like crypto.
Well, she does need the money. She's paying those people back.
No, I guess so.
Yeah, let's strike while the iron's hot with Hawk Tua.
Yeah.
It got a lot of views. A lot of views.
Wiggy chimed in.
Yeah.
World War Hulk and Immortal Hulk would kill Superman. Wiggy's also a big Hulk guy, so that's just not true.
Hulk guy?
If you want to catch up with Hawk Tua, you can watch the Chad Powers show.
All right, good.
Aldis Hodge. You might remember him as Voodoo Tatum in Friday Night Lights. He was also in the NWA documentary or movie. Aldis Hodge and Dave Bautista are going to join Jake Gyllenhaal in Roadhouse 2, which did not need to be made.
No,
neither did the
Roadhouse. Remake of Roadhouse.
Correct.
I did sequel. Think that's another one I thought about watching. Didn't watch it.
Don't.
Yeah, I heard it was bad. But they're doing a Roadhouse 2.
Correct. Okay. Electric Boogaloo. But they got a good cast. I like Hodge. I like Batista. And then finally, Jones, the Simpsons movie is getting a sequel slated for July of 2027. So if you want to see what the Simpsons are up to, they're getting another movie.
All right, so plan on that and the Beatles movie.
Oh, yeah.
Those are long teases.
Put some time aside for those.
But mark those down.
Ones. Yep.
Does anyone on this show still watch the Simpsons, like, religiously? Or
no.
Even do you ever just catch an episode?
No.
Me neither.
No.
I'm not trying to hate on the Simpsons. Simpsons was great.
No, I loved it for like a decade. I loved it. But you know what I might even do, because they're all available on Disney Plus, is just pop on a few of the Treehouse of Horrors this month.
Oh,
it's a good time.
That's a good
idea. Fun time.
Get the Wayback Machine.
Some of those old ones, the aliens.
I love the aliens.
Nice.
But also, they made Maggie's first word sequel, and they made us wait 20 years for a sequel.
Yeah. Yep. I think so.
That's some Simpsons trivia. Was her first word? I didn't recall that.
Yeah, first words for Maggie was sequel.
How about that?
Okay.
So there you go. 2027. Right. Mark that down. 2027. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking forward to it. It is the hashtag Dork Minute. Every Wednesday here on Jones and Keith, usually with a cameo from Wiggy out there.
Yep.
So good stuff
there. I knew he'd be upset about that.
617-779-7937. You'll hear a little bit of Mike Vrabel coming up when he speaks live, 1 o'clock here on Jones and Keith. Coming up next, the voice of the Red Sox. Excellent call last night with a preview for Game 2 tonight. Will Fleming joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.